Talking with K-State Research and Extension County Horticulture Extension Agent Greg Eystone, who joins us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's good to be in where it's warm this morning.
That's like a really long title, isn't it?
You get paid for the longer the title it is.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, hey, that's a plus. And a lot of purple in studio today, by the way. I've got purple on. You've got
Today's purple. A good day to wear purple.
It is purple day.
It is, definitely. Well, it's going to be a nice weekend here. I was just talking here before the show that, you know, I may not be watching as much football because I want to be outdoors. And I think a lot of people will want to be, too. I do have some raking I got to do. And a lot of folks probably going to be spending some time outdoors in their yards.
Yeah, the leaves, I think, got a little quick frost on them early, and so they haven't dropped like they sometimes do. So this may linger for a while, but there are plenty of tree leaves out there, and they're a very useful resource for us in the garden and landscape. So I really encourage you just chop those up with your lawnmower, put them back on the lawn. If you need some in your flower bed or vegetable garden, go ahead and do that. Maybe take the neighbors, whatever. So they do provide nutrients and organic tissues back into the soil. The only problem with them, I guess, is if they get into our waterways or on the curbside. So those are nutrients going into our water sources, which is probably not the good thing. And so I encourage you to rake those up, put them back on the lawn, chop them up so they break down quicker. Lots of options for them. The easiest one is just chop them up and leave them on the lawn. But you may have an abundance that you don't want, and you can put them into a compost area. So you can compost them down for the winter time and then put them back into use come springtime. Sometimes people have way abundance that they don't really want to mess with, and so you can take those out free of charge to the Riley County Transfer Station. They're at 1881 Hinton Road, and drop those off when they're open. I think they're open from 7 to 5. Monday through Saturday, and just drop them off out there, and those will be composted and put back into usable state for other gardeners to use. So there's lots of options to do. The main thing is that you do utilize them somehow. They can become an issue if you leave them on your lawn or area. They will suffocate desirable plants, so it is a good thing to chop them up so that they can be used in the soil and then let your surviving plants work out well, too.
If you rake them and store them in several bags, is there a shelf life of that, or do you have to use them by a certain point?
No, you can keep them for a long time. If it's moist, it'll probably start to break down a little bit and make some anaerobic smell there. And so if you're using them in a compost pile, you just want to make sure that you have air circulation around them, just a proper amount of moisture, which is just a little damp, not saturated situation. And then they won't be anaerobic and make smells that you don't like.
Okay. What about some other maybe yard chores people aren't thinking about this time of year?
Yeah, if you haven't fertilized your lawn yet for the last time, that could be done for tall fescue. Typically, we just use a urea or nitrogen source that you put on and then need to get it into the soil through irrigation or some moisture somehow to get that down to the roots where it stays for the winter time. Keeps your lawn green, which most people want for a long time here in the fall and then into the springtime as well. So that's typically something that is a good thing for our lawns as far as the last thing is fertilizing. Again, adding organic matter to our soils is probably the big thing we do here in the fall. Again, I mentioned the Riley County Transfer Station. They also have the compost from people's leaves previously that is available. So you can get you some compost and work that into your vegetable or flower bed and really get it ready for next year. We like to do that on an annual basis if you can, adding organic matter, whether it be the raw materials like tree leaves or the processed stuff as compost. The transfer station will load it for free. You may want to call out there, make sure the loader guy gal is around to do that. It is $20 a ton. That's a lot of product. My small pickup won't handle that much, and so the minimum I think is 500 pounds. You'll pay $10 for that, but it's fairly affordable for us gardeners to purchase that. If you need that to work that into our soils here in the fall, is a great idea.
And then soil testing, that's a good thing to do right now?
Anytime you can get into the soil, meaning it's not frozen or wet, too wet, would be a good time to take a sample. you know, we're adding this organic matter, and that's always encouraged. Really don't have to soil test for that. We know we need to do that. The soil test is going to tell us what our pH, phosphorus, potassium is, and those kind of regulate your plant health and growth for the year. Those don't really change, so you do it one time and you find out what you have and you kind of work off of that. We can add things to make those changes, but typically our soils are pretty good. Raleigh County Conservation Service will help with some of the funding on that. So for a Raleigh County resident, it's $2.50, and you can find out what is in your soil and what you might need to add if you need to add anything. I think $2.50 to find out your soil is good is peace of mind. It's not too costly to find that out. Typically, we do lots of soil tests and kind of famous for that. I think Extension is got a result back yesterday. They actually had a little bit lower phosphorus and potassium than typically we see. So that's something we'd like to add here in the off season, if you will, so it'll be ready for next spring. And the process is fairly easy. Take samples of your soil down to the root zone, so 6 to 8 inches, whether it be your flower bed, you take it randomly, mini samples, mix that into a clean bucket. The soil lab that we'll take it to up at K-State would like 2 cups of soil, and that typically fills a sandwich bag, and you write your name on it. Bring it to our office so that we can do the paperwork on it. You get your grant funding, and we'll take it up there and find out. Soil lab, usually within 5 to 7 days, we'll have the results back to you, and pretty easy process, and you get peace of mind and know exactly what you need to add to your soil, if anything. The problem is we're oftentimes adding lots of phosphorus, potassium, fertilizers that really aren't necessary. If those wash away or something like that, they become that contaminant again into our water system. So it's a good steward of our environment to do soil testing periodically.
What about with houseplants? What should people be doing with those right now?
Yeah, we're kind of, as our outdoor focus turns inward, we oftentimes start to think more about our houseplants or want to purchase some. We have the holidays coming up, so you may be getting a poinsettia or an amaryllis or some other type of potted flowering plant. The key on there is that they're not growing. This time of the year, there's just not a light energy for any of these plants to grow, so what you're trying to do is not kill them. And so don't kill them by kindness with overwatering, over-fertilizing, those kind of things. So we really just cut back on, we don't fertilize at all, and you let them dry out fairly well before you water them again. The number one killer still of indoor plants is overwatering. And it's not how much water you put on, but how quickly you water from, let's say you water every Saturday. Well, that may or may not be the right thing for the plant. So you really got to just put your finger in the potting soil of your plant or pick it up, and you kind of know, well, if it's heavy, it's probably got moisture in it. If it's starting to get lighter weight container, then you might want to add some water to it. We always water through the soil profile if you can, so there should be on your container holes for the excess water to drain away, but we don't always want to water till you see water coming out of the bottom of the container, and then you have to dump that out so it doesn't sit in it. Now if your plant gets too dry, you may have a kind of a heaving or cracking of the soil where you pour water in it and just immediately drains out and didn't really soak in. In that situation, you would want it to sit in some water and let it soak up a little bit so it gets what it needs. So we don't do any pruning or anything else to our house plants. You're really just trying to keep them alive until we get some more light energy come next March and April for them.
Okay. I didn't realize that the overwatering can be a real issue.
It's the biggest problem with maybe outdoor plants as well, but indoor particularly our house plants. But you do want to make sure that they have that drainage in the container somehow. So if you do overwater, so to speak, it has a process of saving itself.
Okay. And tree wrap, what does that entail here?
Yeah, so a lot of us like some of our thinner barked trees, like red maples, the ones that make pretty fall colors. Those trunks, when they're young in particular, are pretty thin barked, and we can get what's called southwest disease or sun scald. You'll see cracking and damage on the southwest side of the plant. trunk there. And so the only way we can manage that is to reflect the light energy off of that using a tree wrap. Lots of different products out there. Doesn't matter really which one you use, whatever's convenient for you, but we want to protect it from that. Typically what happens is we get some snowfall, which is nice for our plants, but the sun shining on that onto the trunk of our tree can warm up those cells, and then when the sun goes down, it's still 20 degrees out, whatever, and those cells are damaged, and you see that damage on the trunk. Also, we have wildlife injury at this type of time in the year. There's not a lot of food sources out there, so whether it be a rabbit or voles or even deer nibbling on things, we need to protect our desirable plants. If it's a trunk, we can use a tree wrap on that. If it's more of an upper stem, you may need to come up with some type of barrier. I have deer in my place, and they're nibbling on different things kind of throughout the whole year. Really a barrier of some kind. I use bird netting. I use some wire and stuff like that to protect particularly the younger plants so that they can really get established and be able to withstand some of this browsing of our wildlife. So that's something that we need to do. Tree wraps is something we put on in the fall, leave them through the winter, but we do take them off in the springtime. Sometimes people use wire or coated string, things like that, that aren't very forgiving. And as that plant grows in the springtime, it damages it. And that kind of defeats their whole purpose of what you're trying to do. So do need to take the tree wraps and the string and wire and things like that off for the spring growth.
Okay. Well, Craig Istone again joining us here from Kansas State Research and Extension. We're about out of time here. Anything else you want to just hit on real quick?
Well, I've had some calls lately about pruning different plants, and the plant really doesn't care. But some of them bloom on last year's growth, so that means early spring we'll have our flowers. If you prune them at this time of the year, you're just removing the flowers. You're not damaging the plant. But oftentimes those are in our landscape for the beauty of the flowers, so I wouldn't encourage pruning those until after they bloom come springtime. But you can get out there and prune. Fruit trees in particular, those need annual pruning, and anytime the weather's cooperative for you, that'd be a good time to do. And we have lots of information on how to do that correctly. You can go to our website, riley.ksu.edu, or give us a call at 537-6350. Be glad to talk with you about it.
Okay. He's Greg Istone. I'm Brandon Peoples. That'll do it here for this segment. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. We'll have more in focus after this on KMAN.